Another laugh-filled season of bringing Broadway to Cedar City, Utah. This year, we're presenting two of Simon's funniest, Biloxi Blues and Jake's Women, along with a world premiere comedy, William Blake in Hollywood, plus the hilarious Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, and we top it off with the classic musical farce, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. Join us at the Heritage Center Theater, July 3rd through August 11th. All seats only $25. For tickets, call 866-35-SIMON or go to our website at simonfest.org. The Neil Simon Festival. Now that's funny.
ESPN Radio, 1100 and 100.9 FM, is KWWN Las Vegas, K265EZ. From the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company. With Steve Cofield.
Well, I have a microphone and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Adam Hill.
Oh man, hey.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
On ESPN Las Vegas.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
All right, here we go on this Tuesday. Cofield and Company, Steve Cofield, Adam Hill across the way, Young Schwab, Chrissy. Busy 3 hours. We'll get an update on what's going on with Ohio State. 13 days and counting until Herb feels the hammer drop or something else even sooner. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We got a convo with Gerard Gallant a little later. You know, speaking of that, Gallant was on today, this morning, our brand new show, Technically Correct, with Tyler Bischoff. He's landing all the big guests. Yesterday, he had UNLV men's basketball coach Marvin Menzies in studio. Here's Gallant, just to give you a little tease. Here's Gallant with Tyler Bischoff. Again, it's 10 a.m., Monday to Friday. We started the local schedule slot block earlier, 10 a.m.,
when you get on the ice in October, that's when it counts. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what was said last year. I mean, like I said, my expectations coming in last year was make sure our team gets better every day, make sure we compete every night at 7 o'clock when the games start, and, you know, let's have a lot of fun during the season.
There you go, plain and simple. No pressure of expectations after making the Stanley Cup final in year number one.
No, but a definitely different attitude. And, you know, you heard that from Gallant a little bit today that, you know, the rest of the world might not have thought much of the team last year, but, you know, in their locker room, they had the same expectations they always do of going out and playing their best and getting better every day and trying to have as much success as possible. And, you know, they kind of believed in themselves before anybody else did. And now this year they come back in and they all kind of know what to expect out of each other. So it is a different feel. I think there is a different challenge as far as dealing with that and coming in and, you know, having people think you're supposed to be good. And how that can kind of change the mindset and change the preparation. So it's a different feel.
In your new role as one of the beat writers for the Vegas Golden Knights, if people didn't hear Adam's expanded role around the Vegas Golden Knights, covering VGK, scaling back on everything else he does, do you have plans on sitting down for a summer report with Gallant?
Maybe when he gets back to town.
Okay.
He's not here, so yeah, we'll see. We'll find out.
He was calling in today from where, Canada?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Sounded like it was warm there.
Warmer than usual.
If you want a preview, well, actually, it's not even a preview. We're going to play some of the convo around 4:15 today with Gerard Gallant. You can also catch it right now on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas and also on our website at lvsportsnetwork.com. So, decision is in on the Aces, one of our other major league teams. I agree with the decision. Rules are rules. And it's Armageddon if you just willy-nilly have teams making decisions. I'm not saying they didn't have some validity behind their decision. We missed it last week. The Aces had a hell of a time getting to Washington. They got there. It sounds like, how soon before the game officially, do we know?
I think it was like 3 hours.
Okay. For an 8 o'clock game, and they bailed.
Yeah.
And the Mystics coach went crazy. Said, they're here, you got to play. We've had, you know, tough travel schedules or deals in the past. If you're here, you got to play. And the WNBA, I mentioned earlier, dropping the hammer on Urban Meyer. Drop the hammer on the Aces. Forfeit. Loss. And when you've only got six games left in the season, and you were a game and a half out of the playoff race, oof, this one hurts.
Yeah, it does, but I think that also had to do with the decision to not play in the first place. I mean, you look around, every single game is massive. And when, you know, you have a 26-hour flight between, you know, layovers and sleeping in airports and cancellations and everything else, they didn't think that they were going to be afforded an equal opportunity to win that game that they would every other game, so they decided not to play it. And now, you know, they pay the price because it seemed to forfeit instead of being able to play it again. But, you know, every game is massive, and this is a huge swing in the, you know, in the playoff standings and the possibility of getting in. Being two games out now instead of one and a half with so few games to play, that's huge. And
well, give your opinion. Do you agree with the forfeit? Rules are rules. You're a rules guy.
Yeah.
Can't just make up your own rules.
I would need to know a lot more about the situation in terms of what they talked about, because they called the union, and there was supposedly negotiation between the union, or at least discussion between the union and the players, about what to happen. And, you know, did the union tell them they think that they were going to be able to make it, you know, have a makeup game? Or did they say, hey, the chances are, you're not? I would like to know exactly what they were told and what went into the thought process. If they were told, hey, there's a rule here that you're supposed to forfeit, and there's a overwhelming chance that you're going to have to forfeit the game, I would be even more disappointed in their decision not to play.
I'd be surprised if they knew that. And they should have known that, actually. That should have been laid out plainly as well. That shouldn't have been a mystery.
Yeah, the option should have been known. And you know, I think that
if you weren't told the options, then what do? You play.
Right.
And you can't run the risk.
And if they tell you the chances are very strong that it's going to be forfeited, then you have to play. You just do. And I know that...
Were they making a statement for all of the WNBA taking a stand? Is it worth it?
I mean, they could have been doing that. I don't think they were. I think it was for themselves and that they wanted to make sure they had the best opportunity to win the game and play it on a normal travel schedule and normal rest. I don't know that they would have made the same decision if they knew that this was a very strong chance. Or maybe they did and they didn't care. Maybe they were just taking a stand. There's a lot of factors that go into this and a lot of things that go into it. But you would also think if they were told it was going to be a forfeit, they would have had a forfeit right from the beginning. Like, why wouldn't they have just announced it that night if that's the rule?
That's a problem when the league looks to be a bit confused,
yeah,
needing to make a ruling. Not good. Aces in Atlanta today. That's a 4 o'clock start, so coming up here in about 53 minutes. So speaking of taking a stand, we actually did not get to any of the glorious Hall of Fame goings-on over the weekend. I can't say ceremony because there were two different locations.
Yeah, true.
One was with T.O. Did you watch or at least see snippets of it? What'd you think?
I saw snippets of T.O. Listen, I've always had mixed feelings on T.O. I think he is largely...
Mixed?
Yeah, I think he's largely...
He was in here like 3 months ago. He kissed his ass the whole time. Where's the mixed feelings?
Well, my mixed feelings are, you know, there is a lot of people that don't... He has done many things that are very selfish. At the same time, like, I've always thought he is a good person. He's somebody that has been spoiled. He's a bit of a diva at times, but I think he's a good person. So do you dislike somebody because they're, you know, arrogant and perhaps spoiled? Or do you look at somebody that's a good person and say, well, they're a good person, so I don't dislike them?
So I guess the judgment call on what he did doing his speech from Chattanooga is, was that a completely selfish move? Or was he truly taking a stand not only for himself, you know, because he didn't get in the first time around, it took him a couple of times, but a stand against the process where writers roll in stuff that probably they're not supposed to be factoring in when they vote.
Yeah,
if they're going to do that, then they better lay it out on the table and they better be consistent.
Yeah, and
because they can label someone a creep and then someone else who they actually got along with may have been a creep. You know, the classic example in baseball is writers didn't like Jim Rice. Right?
Right.
So they held it against Jim Rice. Writers like Kirby Puckett. Who's the real creep in the end? Rest in peace, Kirby.
Who I've
But who did it turn out? You know, as it turned out, who was just a terror off the field?
Yeah, as it turned out, I've pointed out that Kirby Puckett was a jerk to me when I was a kid on an airplane.
Oh, that's very low on the scale of things he was a jerk over.
I have personal experience with him being a jerk, though. So, I mean, you've seen it.
I'm talking about, you know, domestic abuse and domestic violence and terrorizing females issue. But my point is, writers and voters for the Hall of Fames, NFL in this case, will kind of pick and choose what the parameters are, and you're really not supposed to do that.
Yeah, and T.O. said that he was taking a stand against that he had taken a tour of the Hall of Fame, and he kind of, you know, looked at the layout, the list of what the values of the Hall of Fame were and the voters were supposed to be, and he just said, wait, that's not what they stand for at all. Look what they did to me. He said he was there with a friend. The guide at the Hall of Fame, the guidebook lists the Hall's five values: commitment, integrity, courage, respect, and excellence. And T.O. said to his friend at the time, that's interesting because those don't align with what happened to me at all. He said, it's about the mere fact that the sports writers are not in alignment with the mission and core values of the Hall of Fame. These writers disregarded the system, criteria, and bylaws by which guys are inducted and ultimately the true meaning of the Hall of Fame and what it represents. So, I mean, he's saying that he took a moral stand against it. I think that there's part of it of just, hey, you didn't respect me as a superstar, first ballot guy, so screw you. I'm going to look for a reason to not do it. But at the same time, you know, this is what he's laying out as his reasoning. At least it should be looked at because it seems to be somewhat true. They have their own agendas a lot of times. And that doesn't really, you want guys to not have agendas, but you can have an agenda.
You see what the Hall of Fame is doing now?
Well, they're looking at making a rule about guys showing up, and then if they don't, then they really can't get inducted.
So wait, they're going to vote them in, and then if they decide to no-show, they're going to rescind the invite, or they're going to get a commitment before the vote? Like, how does this work? Like, are they just going to call up however many candidates, 18 candidates? Like, if you're in, you're going to show up, right? And so every year, they're basically going to tease the people on the list?
I think it's more.
Do they call them behind the scenes after they're accepted, and they're like, "Hey, you're going to show up?" Oh, wait, there's hesitation. Okay, you're out.
I think the
how's this going to work?
I think they want to make it more like the WNBA. Like, they just kind of make a ruling and like, well, we're going to kind of reevaluate things. We might forfeit. We might not. I'm not sure.
Let's decide on the fly.
Yeah, but they do want commitments. They do want to make it mandatory that people show up in order to get inducted, and definitely not have their own ceremony somewhere else. Which was embarrassing to them. I get it.
I don't know, man. These Hall of Fames, I don't get it. T.O. was a prima donna, a me guy, but he was incredibly productive. Easily in the argument of top 5 to 7 receivers in the history of football. The number 2 guy in his era. And yet, there's a dude. Well, I mean, hell, a couple of years ago, Charles Haley got in. There's stories of Charles Haley just exposing himself all over the place, in front of women in the locker room, rodding up next to his teammates. Obviously, there was a story of a stabbing. He was a complete creep, and he got in. And then this weekend, yeah, we have it. It took a long time to go through 34 freaking minutes, but the football world, it's like it's all forgiven, completely embracing Reverend Ray Lewis.
Join the conversation on Twitter at Cofield & Co.
Pub 365 is home to 365 beers and a delicious menu of modern pub fare. Our Best of Las Vegas award-winning beer selection features everything from local brews to rare specialty beers. Pub 365. 365 beers, extraordinary food.
Hey, this is Dan the Laptop Man from PC Laptops. It's our Ultra Mega 2018 Back to School Blowout Sale. We have hundreds of thousands of dollars of ultra high quality laptops and desktops on sale for up to 50% off the original prices. We've got demos, scratch and dents, trade-ins, and funny colored computers. It's crazy! Remember, you get a lifetime service guarantee on any PC Laptops brand computer. That means if you mess up your Windows or you get a virus or spyware, it's covered forever. Got an old yucky computer? No problem. We'll take it in on trade and we'll transfer all your pictures, music, and all your stuff to your PC Laptops computer for free. When you get your computer from PC Laptops, we'll make sure you're taken care of for a lifetime. To make it impossible to resist, we're doing 12-month special financing on any PC Laptops desktop or laptop computer. Have I lost my mind? Get into any one of our locations right now or check us out at PCLaptops.com. PC laptops where computers start at $799. PC laptops, we love you.
See what can happen at Chapman.
Jeeps are hot, and Chapman is the hottest place to get one. No one sells more Jeeps in Nevada than Chapman. No one. Why? Because we refuse to be undersold by anyone. You want the lowest price anywhere? Chapman guarantees you get it here. That means discounts up to 30% off for savings as high as $20,000 on new Jeeps, Dodges, Chryslers, and Rams. We're also offering 0% interest for 72 months. That's free money for 6 years. And don't worry about past credit bumps. Chapman's For the People credit approval process will find a way to finance you. Don't miss the summer clearance event all this week. Visit LasVegasChapman.com for more information.
OEC on select policy guarantee offer valid on any bona fide signed contract. We reserve right to purchase vehicle at the same price. Offers may not be combined.
Come and see what can happen at Chapman.
This season, get in the game with the William Hill Pro Pick'em Football Contest. Just pick the winning teams, no point spreads, and take home your share of $300,000 in cash prizes. For a $25 entry fee, less than $2 a week, you'll be picking for your share of $10,000 in weekly prizes. Back for 2018, get to 200 season wins and stake your claim to a $100,000 cash bonus. Register today as Week 1 picks must be in by kickoff on Sunday, September 9th. For more details, go to WilliamHill.us. That's WilliamHill.us.
Bernice was in deep trouble with the IRS.
I owed $25,000 to the IRS. How am I ever going to work this out?
She called Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm.
They always took the time to make sure that I understood everything 100%. It was like the easiest thing to do.
A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, Optima has resolved over $500 million for their clients. Bernice was very happy.
No more being afraid to go to the mail. No more being afraid to answer the phone. No further collection, no liens, no levies. Now I don't have to worry at all.
The bottom line for Bernice?
I'm now debt free. What more proof do you need that Optima Tax Relief actually works?
For tax help you can trust, call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation.
Optima Tax Relief actually delivers what they say they'll deliver. They went above and beyond.
Call 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota Studios.
1 in 6 doesn't define who you are. What defines who you are is what you do when you 1 in 6. What the man you will fight for. Just everything you got today. Not because of the scoreboard, but because when this game ends, you have a brother to call for life. Knowing you gave everything you had. That's why you play as a Raven. That's why you fight as a Raven. That's why no matter what nobody on the outside says, fight your fight.
No one gets a crowd fired up or a team fired up like Ray Lewis, now a Hall of Famer. It took a while to go through 34 minutes of his speech.
His what?
I'll say, on first viewing, it was meandering. But he kept your attention. He kept your attention. It was definitely weird. And I really want to examine where we are as football fans and sports fans with Ray Lewis. Does time heal, right? So, did you watch live?
It wasn't live. It was, I think the ceremony was during the fights on Saturday.
Okay.
So I watched it later, and I missed like 5 minutes. Yeah, I missed like 5 minutes of it.
Yeah.
But there was only one thing I wanted to hear, and I never heard it, and I don't know that he did it those 5 minutes I missed. I want...
Well, maybe we'll get to it here.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm guessing you want him to what? Come clean?
Yeah.
About allegedly providing the getaway car?
Yeah.
To a double murder?
Yes. And helping clean up and get rid of clothes?
Accessory?
Yeah. All kinds of stuff.
Well, like I said, the speech was all over the place.
Yes,
he talks about his kids, loves them, wants to be a good dad...
Because I told you the greatest thing I can give you as a father is the truth. That's all daddy can give you. I can buy you many things, but the reason I'm with you right now and every one of my kids is because of the truth. That what I didn't have, the touches and the hugs and the kisses that I give you, I never had that. I never had a father physically touch me and tell me he loved me. That's why I hug you guys so much. That's why I'm still kissing you in the mouth. Yeah, I kiss all my kids in the mouth. Don't hate. Don't hate. Stay with me now. Don't hate now. I know.
Because all the kids were like, no, 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 no. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Well, we know Tom Brady, same sort of father. Little mini makeout session.
Belichick.
Belichick, too?
Yeah.
Belichick makes out. Well, not makes out. Kisses on the mouth makes with the daughter.
Makes out.
A little tongue-itch.
Maybe that's a key to greatness. The key to sustained success in the NFL. Make out with your kids.
Giving unbridled affection. Maybe wear just the weird ones.
That's why this show is very mediocre.
Yes.
Not
we
enough.
Didn't have relationships like that with our dads.
Not enough affection.
There might be something to it. I'm not saying it's not true. When's the last time your dad kissed you?
Never.
Ever?
Not once. And if he tried, it would not go well.
A push or you just start laughing at him?
A push. Definitely a shove.
About halfway through the speech, Ray Lewis is getting fired up about Baltimore. Our own Johnny Ogden, who, what does he live out on the south side of town, also a Hall of Famer, former offensive lineman, big fella, standing there right next to Ray Lewis doing the dance.
Baltimore! 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 Ready? Go.
Celebrate. Big crowd. Laughing his arse off. Big crowd, though.
Some of them are down in Chattanooga, I imagine.
I don't think they missed out on too many.
No, I don't think so.
I think this is the part you're looking for. Let's talk about life-changing experiences. Let's talk about apologies. Let's talk about coming clean.
Mike got Ricks. 1999, 2001 may have been some of the darkest moments of my life, but I tell you something. When God says, can you hear me now? He sends you a family to make sure you're okay while you're going through what you're going through. What you did for me, what my Atlanta family did for me, what y'all did for me, Steve Bisciotti.
All right. He gave it to you. He mentioned he had issues a while back.
Right, but God took care of it. No, you took care of it. By providing getaway car and getting rid of the clothes that were bloody.
Allegedly.
You took care of it. No, that wasn't God. Unless you hired God to drive the limo, that wasn't God. Allegedly. That was you.
Which what now God's alleged to?
Well,
I think you misused the word there.
No, that was I'm saying that was
it was
God.
Late.
I'm saying it was allegedly driving the getaway car. That was allegedly a getaway car. I don't know if anybody alleged it was God driving.
Yeah, you didn't get what you wanted.
No.
He didn't come clean.
No.
He didn't come clean. He did then. I had no idea this guy was a mentor. He was on the verge of tears. Apparently, when all this is going on, tough times, this was one of the guys he leaned on. Not only Rex Ryan, who we mentioned, and Bisciotti, the owner, but...
What you believed in me? Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps. What? What? How many times, man, you sat in the same house looking at each other? What we said, Baltimore is our city. We'll do anything for Baltimore. Anything. That's the way you end it.
That was literally 45 seconds after he mentioned 99 in 2001. He just immediately pivoted away and just started, Baltimore!
Michael Phelps!
Michael Phelps! Baltimore! And everyone's like, wait, what was he talking about? Hey, Michael Phelps is here, and he looks like he's going to cry. Like, everyone just forgot. Like, wait, you didn't finish the 99 and 2001 part.
Cal Ripken, Krabs, The Wire, like, Baltimore! Like, okay, thanks, I guess. I didn't understand what he was talking about.
34 minutes. Ray Lewis, we've embraced him as football fans, as men. I'm more inspired than ever. Boy, I worked hard behind the scenes today to get this show ready, about as hard as a radio host can. laugh at that. I worked hard.
Baltimore!
You know what? This is inspirational stuff at the end by Ray Lewis.
Miles Monroe compares leaders to the king of the jungle, he says. He says, the lion is not the tallest animal in the jungle. The lion is not the largest animal in the jungle. The lion is not the smartest nor the most intelligent animal in the jungle. And yet, when the lion shows up, he is king. He is king. You don't need to be intelligent. You don't need to be smart. You don't need to have a certain height. You don't need to have a certain weight. You don't need to have any kind of advantage, and yet you can be a leader.
See, Adam? Holding yourself back all these 42 years.
Yeah.
Time to turn the corner, brother. Listen to Ray Lewis speak.
Jacinth Baker and Richard Lawler. Sorry, guys. Hey, you know what? My bad. Baltimore.
So I want to skip ahead because we could play these cuts forever. And I really do want to ask why Ray Lewis is getting a pass. Is it just time? Not even heels. People just forget. And I think the timing of Ray Lewis going into the Hall of Fame is so perfect with what's going on with Urban Meyer. Yeah, they're alleged offenses to different degrees, although you'll claim that, hey, indirectly, Urban Meyer is the guy who is responsible many ways for Aaron Hernandez and his rampage. But there's a group of, and this happens with politicians, celebrities, I'm sure it happens in everyday life, right? There's a group of, we'll stick to athletes, who are kind of under that Lance Armstrong umbrella. You know, Ryan Braun, I just mentioned Urban Meyer, Ray Lewis. These guys who are like, what? I'm embarrassed for you asking me that. I'm embarrassed for you questioning me about something horrible in my past. Like, and you're standing there like, wait, I didn't do anything. I'm just asking. You're the one who did something. Right? What is it? What is the old sports big statement? Can you do it?
Is it righteous indignation from somebody completely and totally in the wrong?
Righteous indignation from someone completely and totally in the wrong. And SI did a great story this weekend. And I knew this exchange had happened. I hadn't seen the entire exchange. Robert Klemko, back in 2013, USA Today was doing a piece. This is still while Lewis was playing. On the families of the victims in the Atlanta slaughter. So what do you do as a newspaper, a media group? Let's try to get some kind of comment from the Ravens and, more importantly, Ray Lewis. So Klemko walks up to Ray Lewis during the week, says, Ray, may I speak to you privately about something serious? So he says, just go ahead. He tells him, we're doing a story with interviews of the families of the victims in Atlanta. I have a few questions for you. I want to give you the opportunity to comment. That's respectful. Lewis goes, are you serious? Klemko, the writer, says, yes, it's our responsibility to give you a chance to comment out of fairness to you. Lewis then pops off. You want to talk to me about something that happened 13 years ago right now? Who's that fair to, me or you? Bro, what's with the outrage on your part? He goes, I told him it was fair to him. You're a public figure and a subject of an emotionally charged story. You should have the opportunity to comment. Lewis said, respectfully, this is my space. You need to go find your space now. Then take a guess what happened from there. Here come the PR douchebags.
Of course.
Who also are sanctimonious. Walks out of the locker room, this writer, after giving Ray Lewis a chance to speak. Media relations person says, Robert, if you ever pull some bull like that again, you'll never come into this locker room. Sticking his finger in the writer's face. He says, first of all, you know Ray is off limits. Second of all, why are you asking questions about murders that happened 13 years ago?
When's the right time, then?
Yeah.
What is the right
time? They're still dead! We don't know who did it!
No.
He may have been involved!
No.
What do you mean? When? 20 years? 30? Is there a six-month timeline?
And let's also remind people, because I'm sure there's people that don't know about the case, that don't know this all happened. I'm actually would guess Shaw doesn't really know much about what happened, you know, back at that time. Ray Lewis was arrested for murder. He was put on trial for murder. And during the trial, he was with two co-defendants. During the trial, he backed out of that, testified against them, pled guilty to obstructing justice in the case, testified against his friends. That's what happened. And then he reached a settlement for wrongful death with both victims. Like, this is not
NDA territory.
This is not some stuff like we're just throwing these things out there.
Right.
He was.
People forget.
He was involved in this double murder during his career. And you can't ask him about it? And you can't bring it up during at any time? And you're not supposed to talk about the victim? At the absolute least, shouldn't he have had some sympathy for the victims? Even if he didn't do it. Which, again, he's really the only one that's ever been in trouble for the murders because, in the end, the two co-defendants got off. He's the only one that pled guilty of the case. So, you are the one to answer for it.
So they have a playoff game right after that. This writer is in the locker room. Lewis walks out in a towel, puts his hand on the writer's shoulder, and goes, "This is Ray Lewis. Whatever you're saying, I forgive you."
Okay.
But righteous indignation from someone, in all likelihood, completely and totally in the wrong. Lewis said, "You were number one in my prayers last night. You don't have to apologize. Bro, don't pray for me. I don't want to be in your prayers."
Yeah.
The writer responded by saying, "Yeah, I'm not sorry, and I'm not going to apologize for doing my job. If you want to have a private conversation, I'm all for it." Then, of course, a couple of teammates come over, try to shove him out of the locker room. And Klemko just finishes up and says, "You know, you just wrote this weekend." I just love that. I love people, because I've had this done to me. I've having people lecture me, and I'm like, "You're a terrible person. I'm not.
Right.
How dare you? Up yours."
Of course.
The writer says, "For 13 years, Ray Lewis had hidden from history. He hid behind his talent. He hid behind his religion. Most effectively, he hid behind his team's PR staff. His case isn't rare. The league insulates players in protective bubbles. In doing so, creates a warped sense of morality that reporters are supposed to adhere to. That includes putting that dude, Ray Lewis, into the Hall of Fame, and everyone's got to be all nice and jolly and happy, and it's a big party." Klemko says, "In this bubble, a story about the lasting consequences of a player being convicted of obstruction of justice related to the death of two men can seem outlandish, even predatory on the part of the media organization." And he says, "In the eyes of the Ravens, players and staffers, we were out to dirty. We were out to dirty Ray Lewis. They refused to acknowledge the way that he dirtied himself and dodged questions in the public for so long. Two faraway families, For two faraway families, the deaths were devastating, life-altering events. To the Ravens, just ancient history."
Yeah, things that shouldn't be talked about.
How dare you ask him about this?
He'll have to answer to God.
How do you look in the mirror as a PR person? You know who you're protecting.
Of course.
Dirtbags.
Of course they are. But they're also scared about their job, and they don't want to be the one that allowed a reporter to ask.
Then don't get a job with that organization and put yourself in that position.
That's fair.
Don't put yourself in a position to defend the indefensible.
That's fair. I think it's also tough to ask somebody who probably is, you know, getting the dream job of their career to work for an NFL team to then say, "Well, don't work for that NFL team."
And you just sold your soul to go and be a bodyguard for Ray Lewis.
It's true.
Yay! Hall of Fame! Ray Lewis, congrats!
Hit up Cofield and Company on Facebook. Like ESPN Las Vegas.
Las Vegas Aces, the first professional basketball team in Vegas, has started their inaugural season at Mandalay Bay Event Center. Legendary coach Bill Laimbeer is leading the charge. And WNBA's 2018 number one draft pick, Asia Wilson, is taking action. Get your single game tickets now at LasVegasAces.com. Be a part of history and get your tickets today at LasVegasAces.com.
Finlay Automotive Group is pleased to introduce Finlay Volvo Cars Las Vegas at 5385 West Sahara Avenue. Come see their lineup of new vehicles. Test drive the cars you know to combine technology, safety, and luxury. Now showing at the all-new Finlay Volvo Cars Las Vegas.
We see them all the time, in a magazine, on TV, on our phones. A picture that makes you stop and say,
"Whoa, where's that?"
It might be the beach, the jungle, or the mountains, but in that moment, it grabs you and whispers, "Come find me." When you just can't wait to find your place, visit MyFlightSearch.com. Find the best rates on airfare, hotels, and car rentals to plan the trip that calls to you, all in one stop. Your place is waiting. Find it on MyFlightSearch.com.
Do it to clear space in your garage. Do it for the tax deduction. Do it to save a life. Donate your vehicle to the Salvation Army. They'll pick it up for free, and the proceeds from its sale will help someone in the grip of addiction reclaim his life. To donate your vehicle, call 1-800-SA-TRUCK or visit satruck.org. You will be doing the most good.
The best time to see a Kia is during Kia America's Best Value Summer Clearance, going on now at Findlay Kia. Come in and enjoy our great selection, great prices, and no-hassle sales experience. Come see a Kia. Findlay Kia, on Sahara, just west of Decatur. Findlay Kia.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota Studios.
Gruden mic'd up. I remember a lot of the stuff was at training camp.
Ho, 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 ho! Santa Claus is here! Huddle up!
Hey, I'm not going to be a real patient guy now. Huddle up! Huddle up! You know what? You're like my wife when you get in space. You just get lost.
You know, we're going to talk Hard Knocks in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, we are.
And I feel like, well, it is your Browns, so.
It is.
Here's your Browns. Matt Schneidman helps us out talking Raiders generally on Tuesdays, and we're rolling out the Raider coverage here as the season's right around the corner, preseason's right around the corner. It's Cofield and Company here on ESPN Las Vegas. What's up, Matt?
How are you guys?
We are good. Very good. In the first week of camp, has there been anything that you would call Hard Knocks material?
Oof. You know, maybe it's because I've been around John Gruden enough that I'm kind of used to his theatrics a little bit by now. But even then, there hasn't been anything too noteworthy in terms of the clips you guys just played, which I actually kind of laughed at. Hadn't heard those ones before. But I wouldn't say anything too Hard Knocks like yet. I would assume maybe we'll get one here in the next couple days with the Lions. Today's practice was a lot more intense, a lot more theatrics, a lot more intensity. So maybe in the next couple of days, but nothing that sticks out yet.
And it's not like the Raiders got, well, I was going to use the word, the Raiders got screwed out of doing Hard Knocks. They actually weren't eligible, right? If I'm correct, new coaches.
Correct.
You cannot be right. Put on Hard Knocks.
I think that's a dumb rule because I bet, you know, the Browns is going to be very interesting from what I've heard, but I bet people would like to see, you know, John Gruden, Derek Carr, Marshawn Lynch, on HBO.
Wouldn't it be worth it to be a show of just Gruden and Lynch interactions?
I think people would watch that. I would definitely watch that. That would definitely be worth it.
Have you seen any so far, or do they kind of keep that under wraps?
No, they're always interacting. You know, whether Carr and Lynch and, you know, the other quarterbacks, Gruden talks to guys during every play, and Gruden and Marshawn are a lot more alike than I think people first thought. You know, obviously, Marshawn kind of does his own thing. He's this big personality, and John Gruden is very in-your-face, aggressive, and we didn't know if those two personalities would mesh. But I think they've done just that. Been a lot of questions about that and, you know, how he and Derek Carr would mesh, and I think, at least from early indications, both pairings have done just fine.
Yeah, I'm not that surprised that Gruden will be able to interact with guys. I mean, he's been around the game, mm-hmm. around players, and players know who he is, so I think it's easy for them to kind of respect him in a way. But has there been any indication that being out of the game and now jumping into a training camp here has been difficult for Gruden, or is there an adjustment process that you're kind of witnessing?
I wouldn't say difficult. I think one thing that's been funny is he's dropped a couple times, you know, obviously the reference to him throwing it back to 1998, that kind of got blown out of proportion from the combine. There was the other day when he said, I'm showing the team film from 1964, but this isn't a 1964 operation we're running, and people kind of took that and ran with it. I don't think that's struggling to adjust to the times. I just think, you know, outsiders or the common fan will see that as struggling to adjust to the times. But for him, it's getting his players to appreciate the history of the game. And bottom line, and we've heard this from players and Gruden and coaches, you know, things that worked back then can still work now. And, you know, a good route is a good route run, and a good throw is a good throw. So even though it is decades old, some things in football back then will still work today.
So, you know, we know that, you know, Gruden's kind of coming back in and he has the big name and everybody's excited to see how they perform during the season. But does training camp look different? You know, apart from him talking and, you know, him being the entertaining figure at the press conferences and that sort of thing, does the camp actually look any different?
Not really. Different in the sense that there's just so many new faces. I mean, the feel around camp, obviously, as it would be in any new season, is just one of much more optimism than last season. And even more so because there's a new coaching staff, a lot of new players. Guys are really excited about Jordy Nelson, not so much Martavis Bryant. He hasn't drawn rave reviews exactly from Gruden. But the whole new staff, just Gruden coming back to his old stomping grounds and the work he's done with Derek Carr and the amount he's challenging him compared to last year's staff is reason for optimism, I think. For this fan base. So it's different in the sense that there's just new life and new blood in here, and they're saying and doing the right things. Obviously, that could be different once the regular season starts and all this hype could go away, but for now, everything seems nice and peaceful.
All the players seem to be happy campers with Gruden, especially the way, well, specifically the way Gruden works the media. He'll go after players like he did with Bryant. Anyone complaining about
right.
that? That is a Gruden hallmark.
Yeah, I mean, we would love to get to talk to Bryant about what he thinks about his coach kind of calling him out in the media, but he has not yet been made available to us since he was traded, the day after he was traded. So Derek Carr said today, you know, Martavis is doing fine with the offense. He's made a huge jump from the start of training camp. We expect him to say that, but I do think it was interesting. I was talking to Jerry McDonald, who I cover the team with, and who covered Gruden during his first stint in Oakland, and he said, you know, sometimes Gruden will do that, to subtly call out his, or not so subtly call out his players in the media and hope it gets back to them, to really send them a message.
Yeah, I saw some of the Buccaneers from his last stint said that was one of the things that bothered them. Why do you think they're holding back Bryant? Is it the obvious? They just don't want him to have to deal with any rumors of positive tests? Is there another reason he hasn't been made available?
Maybe. You know, we haven't gotten a specific explanation, but I would think it has to do with that, exactly what you said, how he feels about rumors. Are you on the right path? Because the talk around him right now, none of it is too positive, whether that be with the reports of the Raiders fearing a suspension or Gruden's criticism of him. So, you know, as the Raiders, they're doing their job. They're doing their job well, whether we like it or not. There's not much positive going around Martavis Bryant right now, so why would they trot him out in front of us?
Matt Schneidman with us, Bay Area News Group. Lions today, that was a scrimmage?
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go? I saw that Derek Carr, disaster! Not really. He threw an interception, first interception, right?
Yeah, well, it was way more intense, just the speed of practice. There are a couple skirmishes, no true fights. Carr did throw his first interception, and I guess it's... not too concerning, but it's also the first practice against an actual opponent, so take that with a grain of salt. Darius Slay, who's a really good cornerback in this league, picked him off, and it was kind of a scramble drill, so Carr kind of just lollygagged it up there. He kind of was kicking himself after practice for that. But Emmanuel Lemieux, the sixth-year linebacker who's played under Paul Gunther before, had a really nice acrobatic interception of Matthew Stafford. Couple running backs, Chris Warren. I know Keith Smith, the fullback, really laid some, not haymakers, but leveled some really, really nice hits on the Lions linebackers. So a little more physicality in the run game from the Raiders, if that was even possible with Marshawn Lynch. A couple cornerbacks, reserve cornerbacks on the Raiders, burned over the top. But just overall, it's good to see the Raiders playing against another team. You're really able to get a better gauge on what they can do. Obviously, we're nowhere near really drawing any sort of substantial conclusions yet, but just a new sense of life in practice because guys are able to hit other players that aren't on their own team and make plays against different looks that they haven't seen yet.
Well, how did the snapping and holding operation go now that they got rid of that left-footed kicker?
Yeah, well, you know, being the snapping and holding and kicking expert that I am, I didn't see too many differences, but, you know, I asked Eddie Pinheiro yesterday when he talked to us. How big of a difference is that actually? Because Don Gruden makes a big deal of it, how, you know, no one ever talks about the snap and the hold, they just talk about the kick. Pinheiro kind of deferred to the coaches. He's kind of a quiet guy. You know, whatever the coach wants out of the operation is fine. But I find it interesting. At the beginning of camp, Gruden really said Johnny Townsend is good enough of a holder to adjust to both. And then he also said, you know, we're going to wait till preseason games to judge the Tavecchio versus Pinheiro competition. Obviously, that didn't happen. And now the real reason is because it just makes it easier on Townsend. I think he could hold for both, but it's just easier on a day-in and day-out basis to hold for two right-footed kickers instead of have the added responsibility of switching off every other day.
This is going a little deep. They're fine with the snapper, right?
Oh, they have the highest-paid long snapper in the NFL.
Yep. Yeah, tell them about this dude, because they paid him gigantic money to, take him from the Buccaneers?
The Bears, I believe.
Bears,
it was. Andrew
DePaula.
Okay. Yeah. So I think the backup long snapper in camp is the one guy who just absolutely knows he has zero chance of making this team, because if you have the highest paid long snapper in the league,
yeah,
he's making your team.
So let's talk a little defensive line. I saw you wrote about the defensive line and Mario Edwards Jr. and some of the guys who were drafted. Is it actually a tight race, or is this one of those things like, hey, these guys are developmental dudes and Edwards is safe?
Well, I think Mo Hurst is definitely not a developmental guy. I think, you know, they don't want to thrust him or Arden Key into too much right now, but Mo Hurst and Arden Key are going to be prominent on this defensive line. They really like what they have out of both guys. Key especially has been really impressive in just one-on-one and two-on-two pass rushing drills. You know, Edwards just has to stay healthy. And as simple as that sounds, he hasn't made it simple the past couple of years. I could easily see Mo Hurst overtaking him. You know, we don't talk about Justin Ellis, probably because he's more of a nose tackle, run-stopping guy. But, you know, P.J. Hall was on the pup for a little bit at the beginning of camp, so he's a little bit behind. But Mo has looked really good. Edwards has looked good, too. Like he said, he got some advice from Warren Sapp, who was in the area today. So it's going to be an interesting battle, because defensive tackle and the defensive line was very subpar last year, and that's obviously why they brought in some new blood there, whether it be Tank Carradine or Hurst or Hall. So I think that kind of lit a fire under Mario Edwards, switching from defensive end to defensive tackle, and now he has to stave off two rookies, which I don't know if he'll be able to do.
Is there a position battle or a roster battle that you show up every day and you're like, oh, I really want to see what's happening at this spot?
I would say, just in terms of the tightest battle, I would say backup quarterback, but there, by no means do I show up every day and said, wow, I'm really excited to watch the backup quarterback battle today, because EJ Manuel threw three interceptions today, so maybe that's a little separation in the battle, if you even want to call it a battle. But I think, I would say, let's see, I would probably say either linebacker, you know, strong side linebacker, Emmanuel Lemieux. Obviously, I said, had a nice interception today. Nicholas Morrow's pushing for that spot. Markell Lee's right there behind Derek Johnson at middle linebacker. It'll be interesting to see what pans out there. Right tackle, I would say, is probably the one I'm most interested to watch. Ian Silverman has been getting a lot of first-team reps because Breno Giacomini and Brandon Parker are both out. So Silverman's been getting a lot of first-team reps. They've also used David Sharp at right tackle a little bit. He's currently backing up Colton Miller on the left side. But right tackle is probably that biggest area of concern on the offensive line, and it's really up in the air. I think, you know, none of those options are proven to be extremely sturdy, so it'll be interesting to see who rises to the top in that battle.
Matt, what's the vibe in the Bay Area from the fans? I mean, the end of the road is coming. They're moving to Vegas soon. I know you were out at that event at Ricky's, right?
Right, yeah.
So what was it like there? I would assume everyone is jacked about Gruden, but I mean, are they a little hesitant? It's like, hey, we're throwing all our support behind Gruden and the organization, and you guys are freaking bailing in a couple of years.
Right. I talked to a couple longtime season ticket holders there, and, you know, they're still caught up in the Gruden hype, and Gruden has done a really good job of embracing the local fans and showing how much he loves Oakland. And whenever he refers to the team he coaches, he says the Oakland Raiders, not just the Raiders, because he knows how much, you know, this team means to the people of the Bay Area, and he knows how much it'll hurt them when they root for Las Vegas. So I think, you know, next season we'll start to see some of the last hurrah and the sorrow going around before the season. But right now, I think everyone's just excited for year one of Gruden and hoping they get a championship here in the next 2 years. I don't know how realistic that is. But I think right now people are just trying not to think about it, as cliche as that sounds.
Did you eat at Ricky's when you were there?
Oh, I did, of course.
What'd you get?
A little corn on the cob. There was a nice burger, some great food there. It was my first time there. A great event.
Did you demand that a dish is named after you?
I did not.
What's going on? How long have you been on the beat now? Ray Rattles got popcorn shrimp. What's going on?
I'm coming up on a year. I do not deserve to have any sort of dish named after me at Ricky's yet.
I assume Greg Papa's Buffalo Wings will be renamed.
Oh, Brent Musburger's Buffalo Wings.
Who? Does he automatically get the Buffalo Wings? Is that right? Oh, JT. JT's got the sampler platter.
Wow.
I would love to be a sampler platter. Oh, this is great. Boy, everything there. Spike and Howie's tri-tip sandwich. All right, enough of just reading a menu. Let me get your Vegas take on a couple of things. It's very early, so
sure.
If you're wrong, we will lock these in as official predictions. If you'd like to change them, we may or may not correct it down the road. Win total.
Sounds good to me.
Win total is 8 for the Raiders. Over under 8. I'm talking to a lot of sharps who are not real high on the over 8 for the Raiders.
Oof. Because I actually think they're going to go 8-8 or 9-7, so I'm going to go over.
Okay. Adam, where are you right now on the Raiders?
I'm under.
Are you?
Yeah.
How far?
I think they're 6 or 7 wins.
Okay.
That's fair.
All right. What do you think of these odds to win the West? You ready for this? It's very tight, which I think is ridiculous. I think the Broncos stink. But Broncos pull up the rear at 5-1. Raiders are 3-1. I'm not sure the Chiefs are any better than an 8-8 team. They're 2.5-1, and the Chargers are the favorite. You agree the Chargers should at least be the slight favorite?
They should win the division if they have any players with two working knees left by the time the season starts.
Boy, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unfortunate for them. You hate to see that, but the Chargers should win the division. I have the Raiders second, Broncos third, Chiefs last.
I mean, the other weird thing with the Chargers making them the favorite is you're playing 6 games in division. I think I did the math there. 6 games in division. I mean, it's not the same road environment for all of them. There's essentially 6 road games. Like how when you
I
when
also
you were,
think people I, are yeah, I think people are just so high on the Chargers because of how they finished last season. I don't know if that will carry over. You know, you never know if age will start to show on Phillip Rivers. He's certainly still a good quarterback. Keenan Allen's one of the best receivers in the league. You know, Casey Hayward is a really good cornerback, but Jason Verrett out for the year already. I mean, they're probably the biggest wild card in the division, I would say.
How bad was the home field last year for the Chargers in L.A. against the Raiders?
I thought the game was at the Coliseum. I didn't even notice it was a Chargers home game. Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous.
And we know Denver fans travel and Kansas City fans travel big time. I mean, obviously, the Raiders in L.A., it's a freaking road game for the Chargers, so they've got that to overcome. All right, Matt, we want to catch up with you soon. But before we do that, we want to make you part of the company, so we've got our company queries. This could be anything we're talking about today. We've already talked about. These are not easy questions. Okay, my friend? By the way, Matt, are you you're not over 30 yet, right?
No, I'm not even close.
Ooh, all right, first question. Can you name all 3 sisters on the Brady Bunch and their 4-eyed cousin?
No, I can't.
You can't name one of them?
I'm 23 years old.
It's the Brady Bunch. It's iconic,
you
Matt.
Watch the Brady Bunch movie.
Tom, Giselle, and what's their youngest?
Sister.
What's their kid's name?
Wow, we got him here. We got him here. All right.
You put me on the spot.
I know. That's the whole point of it. You're part of the company. You come in, you just get the questions thrown at you. Doesn't mean it's entertaining, but pressure's on. Matt Schneidman's with us. All right. Do you wear flip-flops when you go to work at the camp?
No, I'm strictly a sneakers guy.
Good. Adam, do you wear flip-flops to, like, Golden Knights practice or USC media days?
Cold Golden Knights practice.
Do you wear flip-flops ever to work?
No.
Okay.
No.
This is all based on Belichick showing up at the Hall of Fame, and he grosses me out with the jeans and flip-flops.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
I mean, he can do whatever he wants.
I understand that, but when I look down at his feet and the toenails are all Forget it.
Right.
All right, last one.
I agree with you.
This is going to sound like a loaded question, but it's legit. Who would you rather buy chicken from? We're talking at a restaurant. Guy Fieri, who's a Bay Area guy, or Flavor Flav?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. I'm going to say Guy Fieri, just because I was at a charity bocce ball tournament that Jack Del Rio held, and Guy Fieri and John Madden were there, and he was pretty good at bocce ball. So, you know, if he's good at bocce ball, he has to make good chicken, right?
I guess, yeah, maybe some chicken cacciatore, I don't know. Try to go with the Italian theme, chicken parm.
I would trust Guy Fieri. Flavor Flav probably would pull a little something in it that wouldn't make me feel good afterward.
Or feel great.
Yeah, very chill. Very chill.
A little too much Flavor Flav in there, probably.
All right, Matt. Well, we put you on the spot. Next time you're in, well, you're probably never coming back again, but we'll have more company queries for you.
Great.
Thanks, Matt. I knew he was going to be screwed on the Brady Bunch question.
That's a tough one.
I figured one. I figured he'd peter out and not get. I knew he wouldn't get Cousin Oliver.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
So I loaded the back end because I was like, yeah, maybe this guy's, you know. Don't kids watch TV anymore?
Not old TV.
That's all I watched when I was a kid.
But I definitely thought he'd get it from the Brady Bunch movie. Not
I'm watching Dragnet,
show.
Hazel in the freaking mid-70s.
Hazel?
Oh, it was a great show.
What
great,
about,
great maid.
Patty Duke show.
I wasn't down with it.
Okay.
I wasn't. Just being honest.
We're like the Nelsons.
Not one of the bunch. Then he starts naming Tom and Giselle? Oh, that Brady Bunch. Did he misunderstand us?
No. I think he knew, but he was like, that's the only Brady I know. Yeah.
All right.
First of all, I know Shaw can't get them, but...
Well, how about we let him answer it on the way back?
Okay.
How about we go to break, pay some bills? We got Hard Knocks to talk about because the debut is coming tonight.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
We're here with Chuck, founder of Dollar Loan Center. Hey, what about those who have applied for a loan with DLC in the past and been denied?
Great question. Unlike banks, we try our best to approve everyone, but the reality is that some people are going to be denied, and they have been. The good news is that everyone's situation changes. 2 years ago or even 6 months ago is a long time. Now you're on your job longer. Maybe you got a raise, paid off some other bills, who knows?
And after 20 years, I'm sure DLC has had a lot of applicants.
Over 2 million people have applied with us for a loan. If you were denied in the past, come on back in. We'd love to give you another shot. We've even loosened our lending criteria over the past year.
They could also bring in a co-borrower, right?
Of course. Another good idea.
Get up to $5,000 in just minutes at Dollar Loan Center. We have over 50 locations, and our friendly Dollar Loan Center staff are ready to help. You can also apply over the phone or online at don'tbebroke.com.
Licensed by Nevada Financial Institutions Division. Customer must meet the normal loan qualifications. To review loan qualifications, visit us at don'tbebroke.com. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
Sign up today for a new William Hill Mobile Sports account, and you can earn up to a $50 bonus. The William Hill Mobile Sports app allows you to bet on the go from any iPhone, iPad, or Android device from anywhere in Nevada. With the largest wagering menu, the mobile sports app features live in-play betting on football, baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, and tennis. You can fund your mobile account at over 350 locations, including PT's, Sierra Gold, SG Bar, Sean Patrick's Pub, and 7-Elevens throughout Nevada. For more information, visit williamhill.us. William Hill, the home of betting.
The right hire can really make an impact on your business. You can post to job boards and hope you'll find the right person for your job, but think about it. How often do you check job boards? Why trust a chance when you can post your job to a place where people go every day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities, and 70% of the U.S. workforce is already there? LinkedIn. 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, and yet most are not visiting job boards. So you can only reach them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets potential candidates based on insights from their behavior on LinkedIn and rich profile data you can't find on a resume, like their skills, recommendations, interests, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. With LinkedIn, your job gets in front of the right people. Hurry to LinkedIn.com/1009ESPN and get $50 off your first job post now. That's LinkedIn.com/1009ESPN to save $50. LinkedIn.com/1009ESPN. Terms and conditions apply.
The IRS doesn't mess around. If they want your money, they'll take it. They can take your paycheck and bank accounts too, even threaten your home or business. And it's about to get worse. The IRS just hired an army of new tax enforcers. So, if you owe back taxes, the smartest thing you can do is call Optima Tax Relief. Optima has access to a special IRS tax assistance program called the Fresh Start Initiative. And their clients that qualify are saving thousands, even tens of thousands. One call starts the process to stop the demand letters, stop aggressive collection actions, and stop that army of new enforcers from targeting you. But don't delay. It's important to act now while you still have options. Optima is A-rated with the Better Business Bureau. Optima has already resolved over $500 million of tax debt for their clients. Get your life back. Call now for your free consultation.
Call 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
My grades were bad. I would, like, get D's and C's.
I appeared to be doing good at my school life, but if you would see me at home, it would have been a completely different story.
I mean, it was just rough.